All right, so next we have Andy talking about debugging HPC scripts. Thank you, I'm looking forward to that.
Hi, welcome everybody. So first a few words about myself. My name is Andy George and I work as an HPC sysadmin at Ghent University. In that role, I don't do user support very often. I only do what gets sent to me and I try to limit that. So the topic of my talk is about a tool for user support, but it's not something that I'm using directly. However, I am responsible at the team for all things that get logged and get sent to some central logging system. I am responsible for the scheduler. So at Ghent University, we're using Slurm. So my task is to deploy it, update it, keep an eye on it, see what goes wrong, if the nodes are still online, what happens to them, etc. So in that role, I was looking at jobs, and at our site, we run a lot of jobs, not a gazillion jobs, but over the course of the lifetime of our clusters, several millions of jobs can get run. Some are short, some are larger. And to give you an idea, these jobs can sit in our queue for like 2 minutes, if there are resources free, or up to a few weeks if the clusters are very busy. Once a job starts, they occasionally die in an unexpected manner, unexpected to the user, that is. And after a while, the user checks his jobs, wants to see what happened to them, and see, well, this job should still be running. It crashed. I don't know why. So then they contact user support, which is sitting over there, and they try to avoid that happens again, because obviously their jobs are important for their research. They need the results to get the papers out on time, preferably. And obviously, anything that crashes is not their fault. Now, I say this with a bit of irony, because sometimes it really isn't, but sometimes it is. So the key problem I'm trying to address here is to figure out what was running in the job under the given environment that the job was submitted under. Now, if a user contacts us, then we often ask, well, can you provide us with a copy of the job script? But sometimes they no longer have it, for whatever reason, or they can't find it. He also may have changed it. I mean, the job was submitted 3 weeks ago. They continue working, and they change the job script to submit a new job, do something else. They don't have a copy of it. It's not under version control. Even if it was under version control, they may not recall exactly what version was submitted. I mean, it was 3 weeks ago. Do you remember which version you submitted 3 weeks ago to some batch system? Probably not. The other option is that they have a very clear idea what was submitted. So they provide you with a job script, and afterwards it turns out that that was not exactly what was submitted. So they may provide you with the wrong script, and then user support goes looking through it, trying to see what might have gone wrong. They don't find anything, but still the thing crashed. And it's important to note that in all of these cases, the user is acting in good faith because they need the results for their job. So they try to be as helpful as possible to us to find out what went wrong. However, the user is not the only actor. When a job is submitted, there is on several systems, at our site, at other sites, a submission script that takes the job script and then manipulates it, or checks if all the directives are okay, checks if the requirements that the user needs, like resources, are okay, if anything should be adjusted. There may be other filters or other things happening to it before it ends up in the scheduler. And then when the scheduler gets it, it usually keeps a copy. So somewhere, when the job is submitted, certainly under Slurm, the job script ends up in a spool directory where it gets read again at the time the job is actually started. Then the scheduler just goes to that job script, reads it in, passes it to the nodes that need it, and the job is started. Now, the job script in that spool directory sits there from the moment it is submitted until it is finished or the job crashes. So either way, once the job is finished, the job script will be cleaned up. I mean, if you have a gazillion job scripts that are pushed through, you can't keep them all because then the directory wouldn't be unusable. So the first obvious solution is that we patch the scheduler. So there are several cases in which this might be feasible. If the scheduler is free and open source software, you can write a patch. You can try to figure out where the JavaScript is saved to the spool directory and save it also to another location. And the second location, you never think about it again, because otherwise you would also delete it. But then either you'd have to maintain that patch forever. So when new versions come out of the scheduler, you would have to check that everything still works. Or you can try to get it upstream, but it's not always easy. Upstream maintainers may not agree with the way in which you are doing things or with the fact that this is überhaupt needed. So they might argue that saving a duplicate copy is actually not a scheduler's task. I mean, the original copy is there, so why should they save another? And it makes for more work to be done on each job submission. If you do this, then the next release you get, you will need to test it again, maybe adjust the patch because they changed the original code that you were patching. So this adds to your own workload. Moreover, not all job schedulers are free and open source. So we're using Slurm, which is, but other sites might be using LSF, which is not, or Grid Engine, which is also not open source. So this largely depends on the vendor. And it also depends on the vendor if you have a single scheduler or if you have multiple schedulers. If you buy a new machine, then the vendor may say, look, we offer you this machine, but it comes with scheduler X. If it's not free and open source, you might need to pay them to add this feature. Once they get the money, other sites may have to do the same because it's free money. But even if your scheduler is free and open source, then if you get a new machine, then you might end up with a different scheduler. So you can't actually reuse what you already did. So the takeaway here is that, in my view, the scheduler may not be the best place to obtain a backup copy of such a job script. So for that, I wrote sarchive. The S stands for Slurm, pretty obviously. But sarchive also supports other schedulers. So right now we support Torque out of the box. And adding support for other schedulers is fairly easy. So we separate the front end, which reads the job script and put it in some intermediate structure, and the back end, which does the actual archiving. So if you have something else besides Slurm, you run LSF or Grid Engine or PBS Pro or something else that I don't know about, then you can also use this tool as long as your scheduler puts the job script and other files in a specific spool directory that you can then read. So what it does, we monitor all the directories in the spool. So Slurm typically has 10 hash directories under which it puts job scripts to avoid making one single directory too big. When we receive a change in the directory, we check if it's a change that corresponds to a new job being there. So the front end knows how to pick up that data, reads it in. We push it into a queue so we can process things as fast as possible. And then the back end will take it out of the queue and do whatever it needs to do to archive your job script. So we support several backends. So the first one is the one which we originally wrote. It saves your job script and the other files it needs. For example, for Slurm, it's also an environment file. So two files will be saved into a file hierarchy, which you can optionally subdivide with a year, a month, and a day, depending on how much job scripts you expect. This might be handy. We can also send stuff to Elasticsearch or to Kafka. And it's important to note that the last two things were only implemented with the stuff that we needed. For example, for Kafka, you can specify the broker and the topic to which you want to produce. But at this point, there's no support for like SSL or anything else. So this is still fairly limited, but it does work. We're in maintenance right now, so I can't show you any live things. But this is a overview of the job scripts that were submitted on between January 10th, 1649 something, up to January 11th, same time, from all of our clusters. And this information was pushed via sarchive through Kafka, and then it was read out by Lostash pushing it to Elasticsearch. So now we also have a nice overview in Elasticsearch of the JavaScript, where you can have full text search, etc., to find your things. So these are the links. So everything is on GitHub. There's also a crate. Note that this might be behind the master here, because sometimes I have dependencies that haven't been published. You're free to use it, to fork it, to add to it, open issues, etc. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy. We have time for one or two questions.
Yeah, if I recall, there was a talk, I think in HPC KP18, about using machine learning for predicting like characteristics on the job, like how it fails. Most of the time it's like wall time and other stuff, you know, resource memory. Not sure if you had a chance to take a look, but I think it would be interesting.
You mean to also add this information into the same collection of data and then compare the JavaScript contents with whatever happened?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like more like a dashboard alerting, like, you know, what jobs are failing or may fail because of wall time and other stuff. If I recall, I think the tool is called Predict It.
Okay.
From a company called UCIT.
I haven't heard of it, but I could take a
look at it. It was interesting because we were also trying to do this exact same problem. Uh-huh. You know, wall time is one, but certainly memory, CPU, and other stuff you want to do.
Okay.
I was curious to see if you have any kind of thing on
that.
No,
not at this time, but it sounds interesting. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, we are out of time, unfortunately. Next talk is coming up in a couple of minutes.